that real.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. By the way, you should know Matt Wilhelm, Weimer19 just tweeted he votes to keep the stand ban in effect.
Thank you. Back me
tonight,
up.
Tonight, you have the privilege, and that's exactly what it is, the privilege of listening to Ken Carmen and Gerard Sherry on the Browns preview show right here on ESPN 850 and 92.3 The Fan. That starts at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, it's Ken Carmen and myself for the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns
radio
network.
How do you miss that?
You can't.
I think anything with Ken Carmen is spectacular.
Well, we all know that.
I really do. Like the PNC Bank pregame show, I wish I got 2 hours with Ken. 1 hour with Ken Carmen is kind of like a tease.
I don't mind waking up at 9:30 in the morning on game days just because I have the opportunity.
I love sitting in a hot studio at 92.3 The Fan with Ken Carmen next to me with my hand on his leg and us talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Well, that's why it's hot.
That's why it's hot.
That's called steamy.
Sweaty.
Steamy. Yes, indeed. All right, 216-578-0850. Of course, the Ohio Business Machine, hot topics today. We're on to the Ravens. The Browns-Ravens, bigger rivalry than Browns-Steelers. I don't know. It's tough for me to call any of these things rivalries until they are somewhat competitive.
I announced in the first segment as well, Joe Flacco, 13-1 versus the Cleveland Browns.
Hence my point. The last time that the Cleveland Browns won in Baltimore was that overtime thriller 33-30 back in 2007. Prior to that, it was 2002. The Browns won twice in Baltimore since 2002. The Browns have only won once against the Ravens since 2008. So that's tough for me to call it a rivalry. I would love nothing more than this to become a rivalry because that means the Browns are winning at least as often as they are losing.
Yeah, I think as we sit right now, rivalry might be the wrong word. Just like Ohio State and Michigan, no longer a rivalry. Maybe this year.
Kid! Not going to like your comments there, right. But it's the same thing. I agree
it's
with you.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
So one team has stayed at a certain level. Another team has been significantly bad. And it's been very one-sided. I think there are facets of fans, and that's why we want you to tune in, at Browns_daily or 216-578-0850. There's hatred for the Steelers, and there is hatred for the Ravens, and I think they come from two different places because of the storied history behind both of these division opponents.
Absolutely. Right now, it is clear that the Ravens and the Steelers are a much, much bigger rivalry, is a much bigger rivalry than Browns-Ravens or Browns-Steelers right now.
Yes.
Those games are always three-point games. Those games, it is very, very...
Primetime games.
Yes. Yes, prime time. They're getting it done. Now, we're starting to get a little bit of headway with the Steelers. We almost beat them in their place. Big comeback last year. Whooped them in Cleveland last year. So maybe that one can start happening.
We hope.
Going forward. We certainly do hope. My friend Beatbox chimes in from Chicago. Our good friend of the show, Beatbox, with one simple hashtag for you, Matt Wilhelm. Hashtag freestand. Come on, Beatbox. Come on now. All right, 216.
If you're not with me, you're against me.
216-578-0850. Let's go to Scott in Sharon Center. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, how man. Are you?
Good. You know, I think when we used to be contenders, if you guys can remember that long ago.
I don't think I was born yet, but go ahead.
Come on.
Expound on that, will you?
2007.
Sorry.
I think the Steelers were the bigger of the two rivals between Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yes.
I think once they pulled Baltimore out, or Cleveland out, took them to Baltimore, I think we were let down. I think maybe there was a lot of hurt. I don't know if it was animosity, but I think they're both rivals now. But it's always a good feeling when we beat the Steelers. Now, I think it's just as good of a feeling to go in and beat the Ravens because of the way Modell did things. What I really wanted to tell you, and I heard this quite a long time ago, do you remember when Art Modell wouldn't come to Cleveland Stadium to watch the games, the Ravens and Browns play because of the death threats on his life? There was a rumor going around, and I heard it two or three times, David Modell actually got so mad, a friend of his put him in contact with somebody in New Orleans to put a spell on the Cleveland Browns. Now, whether or not that's actually true and that happened, I don't know. But if you go back and look at what's happened, you know, since we got our team back and started playing, what the heck has happened? I'm almost leaning towards David doing something like that. What do you think?
I'm not into the whole voodoo, magic, spell, ghosts, jinx stuff.
It worked in Major League.
Yeah, okay. It's a movie. Come on. Give me a bucket of chicken, right?
Joe Boo. All right. 216-578-0. We're on to Baltimore. This is where we're at right now. We're calling for voodoo after the quarter of the first quarter of the NFL season. I'll tell you what, though. Voodoo would get this defense out of the cellar. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I'd take a bath in voodoo or whatever. Some salt.
I'm a voodoo child.
Yes.
Where's Jimi Hendrix is into voodoo. Chevy in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Guys, I have a comment or a question, then a comment.
You got it, bro. Go ahead.
If I go to the Baltimore game, can I hang out with one of you guys after the game for a minute?
If
say
what?
Hi, shake your hand.
If you're going to be at the Baltimore game?
Well, I might. I'm finding out today at school. Some kid in Lexington class might get tickets, we'll drive over there. But
not to disappoint you, but I will not be in attendance, so you have to settle for Nathan Zagura.
I will be. By the way, I'm going to San Diego a week. I had a nice fan club in San Diego. It wouldn't have been what Matt Wilhelms would have been in the house that Wilhelm built, by the way. Yeah. Although you could have done a little bit better job at getting modern
monitors,
modern screens.
Yeah.
Maybe
I was in the stadium. I was building on a budget.
You were balling on a budget. Yes, you were. But I'll tell you what, Chevy, if you're there, yeah, come see me pregame. I'll be on the Brown sideline. Just come down to the rail, and I'll walk right over, and I'd be more than happy to shake your hand. One of my favorite people associated with this fine show. And we've left them speechless.
All right,
we'll have to continue this in person. Let's go to Steve in Norton. Steve, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
We're all right. How are you?
Man, we're on to Baltimore.
Yeah, listen, I think the Browns are going to do great there. I think that Baltimore is suffering some of the anxieties and things we are suffering, and I think we're a stronger team. We're going to do better. I was at the first Browns-Baltimore game in a suite, and I was the only Browns fan there. I was in Baltimore, and I had my two daughters with me. They were 13 and 14, and we were told we could root for the Browns, and we did. We lost, but we had a great time, and everyone else in that suite was a Baltimore fan. They were partial owners or whatever, and it was wonderful.
Well, good to hear that they were classy in their treatment of the Browns fans. But
that's the one question that I guess I have in truly diagnosing this as a rivalry is if I know the way a Cleveland Browns fan would taunt and abuse someone wearing Steelers garb or Ravens garb at First Energy Stadium, right? Because of the hatred and animosity of the both the one rivalry, Browns-Steelers, and the animosity towards the Baltimore Ravens for what was done to this franchise. And I can't see that there's a whole lot of reciprocation of hate and anger and taunts by Steelers and Ravens fans in their home stadiums to someone wearing a Browns garb. Probably because the threat is not all that real, or at least has not been that real in the last 15 years.
No, that's the issue.
And to me, again, diagnosing it, it doesn't seem like a rivalry. We hate their fans and them a heck of a lot more than they hate us.
They get excited because of the history. They're excited when the Browns are on the schedule. Joe Flacco is what? 13-1?
Yes.
Okay, Joe Flacco expects to win.
And Ben Roethlisberger, like, what's Ben, like 17-2 or something like that?
It's not good. Whatever it is, the combined thing, it's not good. By the way, Chuck DeRemmer checks in. Apparently, there are reports that Stan has a Matt Wilhelm voodoo doll, and he is currently putting pins into it.
Great. My body feels spectacular. Your pins aren't working.
Indeed. All right.
He just ripped the head off my bobblehead.
216-578-0850. No, the bobblehead is still intact. 216-578-0850.
Well, there's more than just one. Nathan.
Let's go to Bruce on a cell. There's a life-size one walking around somewhere, I'm told. Bruce, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You got it, man.
Couple of things. First of all, the only rivalry the Cleveland Browns have right now is the fans with the ownership. You don't have owners. You don't have rivalries when you don't win any games. But the other thing I wanted to say, really, honestly, is that my take on the situation is that as much, and I'm a Browns fan since 1960, I gave up my season tickets this year, but it's gonna take a long time. We got a garbage organization when they came back into the NFL. The Ravens are the old Browns with Ozzie Newsome, and we're stuck until we can get an actual adult to run the team. And saying that, the worst part of it is that what we have to hire right now is we get cast-off kind of guys that can't get jobs anyplace else. And until we can establish some kind of stability here, at least, I don't even think about winning. They've got to establish stability and be able to attract somebody who isn't a young guy trying to make, and this is the worst part, and I'll stop, but a young guy trying to establish himself and coming up with a gimmick like, we don't need any linebackers and letting Clay Matthews go by twice, or not drafting wide receivers to try to make some kind of gimmick that nobody else has.
To be fair, the Browns are second in the NFL in passing yards the last 2 weeks. The problem has not actually been the offense or the passing game. It's actually been the defense, which is what this whole organization has invested all of its resources into and what your head coach hangs his hat on, and they've got to get that fixed. Maybe Ray Farmer, I personally, Nathan Zagura, till the day I die, will want a big number one receiver. That's just how I feel.
And a franchise quarterback.
And a franchise quarterback. But our offense, Josh McCown played well enough to win last week.
He did.
The defense did not play well enough to win. We won 2 out of 3 phases last week. They got to get good at the one that is supposed to be the core competency. Let's go to John on a cell now. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
You got it.
Am I still in my time limit to look back, or have we moved forward, Matt?
You have 3 minutes left to look back.
Three minutes.
All right.
Hopefully it's a brief
one. Yeah, man. Defense has got to be good. I've got that voodoo guy they called earlier. That might just be my fault, man, because every year I buy new jerseys. I like
that's where we're at. I like wearing that might be my thought. Where does it voodoo or nothing? That's the stage we have reached.
Yeah, wow.
I'll
buy new jerseys and they'll play like crap. From every quarterback and like Peyton Hillis.
Whose jersey did you get this year?
Oh man, I got Whitner and Hayden, and I'm just kicking myself. Like it's my fault, and I'm like that Cubs fan from the World Series.
Can you buy a Joe Flacco jersey this week?
You know what? I'll gladly do that. I'd buy him.
$140 investment in a Browns win.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, you realize if you do that though, and the Browns win, you've got to do it every week.
Yeah, and that gets real expensive. And I've already got Yoda. I went to the Oakland game, and I went with my girlfriend. She's looking down, and then Zagura does his, where you do that thing between quarters where you like try to cup us up and stuff. And she's like, she's going to let me go, buying clothes. She's like, well, why don't you go shopping where Zagura gets his suits? And I was like, she's got like a thing for you, so why don't you make me shave my head?
Tell her thank you very much for that. Well, listen, whatever we have to do to get this team winning, that's what we have to do. It's nice, at least I'm doing all right in the suit game, so that's good. That's good.
You're the highlight. You're the only highlight on the field.
That is not true, Matt Wilhelm. That is Matt Wilhelm. Come on. We're going to get better. I'm the only highlight off the field at the games. Here we go. 216-578-0850. Tim, and how do you even say this, Dino?
Tuscarawas.
Say it. There you go. Tim, welcome
to
the show.
You can say Tuscarawas, isn't it?
Yeah. You can say,
yep,
you can say Tim
is.
And Tuscarawas. You can say, Tim and Tusky if you want to.
Tim and Tuscarawas?
Yeah, that'll work. Tusky Tim.
Yeah. Tusky, yep. Tim. Tusky Tim.
All right.
Hey, taking a vacay day today, and that's when I get to hear the best show on KNR. So, at any rate, I want to talk just quick and make a few points about last week's game.
You got it, man.
Josh did really good, as long as the line holds up, obviously.
That's where Johnny, if the line falls apart, I think he can make things happen. Also, along those lines, they said all week they were going to have something for Johnny. And I think, I don't care what anybody says, there's still a lot of haters out there been poisoned. But I still think he adds something, not just the offense, but I think he lifts up the defense also when he's in there making plays. How come they didn't play him last week?
I believe when John DeFilippo stated, I believe on Thursday, that there was a Johnny package, that some of the reason why you might say something like that or answer that question is to create some type of smokescreen for San Diego or any future opponent to have to prepare for. That's one thing. And then the only avenue that I thought was possible for them to play Johnny Manziel in any type of package was if the game dictated needing a spark or a new wrinkle that you added this week that you thought you'd have significant success in. Otherwise, at what point, Nathan, would you have wanted to pull out your quarterback that was completing 78% of his footballs, throwing for 350-plus yards, out of that game and insert Johnny Manziel to play who knows what role for a play or an entire series?
I thought maybe you'd see him in a special two-point conversion play. I thought if we were going to see him, it was going to be on that two-point conversion. I'm glad, obviously, they stuck with McCown, who was in a very good rhythm at that time. But that's just more for people to prepare. Josh McCown is the starter. Johnny Manziel is the backup. Austin Davis is the third quarterback on this team. And that isn't going to change, at least for this week, for a while. And right now, Josh McCown is showing you, quite frankly, why the team brought him in. He's looked very good to me, specifically the last six quarters. But ultimately, this season could get to a point where it is about developing Johnny Manziel, and there are people out there.
I think developing more positions than just Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely. But there are people out there who have pointed out the Browns have one win this year, and the starting quarterback for that game was Johnny Manziel.
Sure.
So his time will come. I feel pretty certain of that. When we come back, we'll continue to take more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We'll hear some sound from the Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, as well as their quarterback Joe Flacco. And Matt Wilhelm, I want your thoughts on this real quickly. Dan Campbell in his first practice as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Full pads.
And the Oklahoma drill.
Good.
In season.
Good. I love it.
You like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're pro toughness.
Yeah, because you had to be in the old CBA. You had to bang. You had to be ready to bang every day. You had to be able to earn your spot every day.
I like that. Be ready to bang, Matt Wilhelm.
That's right. Get ready.
Get ready. When we come back, we're going to hear from the Ravens. Take phone calls, 216-578-0850. And just FYI, Phillip Rivers, offensive player of the week in the AFC. Former Brown safety T.J. Ward, defensive player of the week.
I had that
AFC
written down, and I just strayed away from it.
Just an FYI. Yeah. All right, we'll be back with more. CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.